Humanitarian Radio with your hosts Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Humanitarian Radio. I am here with my host Tony St. Tone, and we are talking about a nice fall, winter, crisp morning out in LA.
Yeah, it's actually a lot cooler than we're used to since we're originally from, well, I'm originally from Connecticut. We both are originally from Connecticut and then lived in Florida for a number of years. But Florida this time of year is still a bit warmer, but I know they're getting a cold spell.
The whole country is getting a little bit of a smack at the moment. And, you know, we encourage you to do really great things to keep your little self warm.
Welcome back from Florida, by the way.
Thank you so
much.
Where is
your tan?
It was a whopping 35-ish degrees.
So you didn't lay out there with all the European?
No, I was looking for every inch of sun I could put my hands on, but no, actually, I got no nobody got sun other than my nose.
You know that Europeans are in Florida when they're all, like, you know, half
at
naked
the
on the beach.
Yeah.
And all the Floridians have, like, coats and hats and gloves on, so.
Totally. So we just celebrated Thanksgiving, and it's definitely a beautiful time of year to give thanks for the people around you and what you have going on in your life, and hope all of you guys had an awesome Thanksgiving.
I did.
I did, too. I worked through it. It was a beautiful day, celebration, and it was a lot of fun to be international with a bunch of people from different countries celebrating a holiday that they were not familiar with. So, fun.
I'm sure it was a blast to share that. So last week we had a guest named Melvin Hester, and he was a great, great guest. It was someone that Janie actually met in Florida, and we did an interview with him, but we want to share with you a letter that he wrote us. Janie, would you like to read that letter that he wrote?
Sure. I want to say first that how we met is he's the chef at a Marriott in Florida, and I was complimenting him on the breakfast, and it was a simple breakfast, but it was delightful, and I was very appreciative of it, and he had come out, and I just started chatting with him. You never know when you talk to somebody what you are giving them, and what I mean by that is the energy you're giving them, the love you're giving them, the respect, the satisfaction. There's just a variety of emotions that you can be giving to someone on a simple conversation, and you don't even realize it. When we got this letter, it really opened my eyes to, wow, I had no idea this gentleman was in this state of mind when I just chit-chatted with him. So I'm going to go ahead and read the letter, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go right ahead.
It says, I just have to ask a question or two. When was the last time you exchanged business cards or contact information and that somebody actually did what they said they were due? And if so, how did it feel? Last week, I was feeling pretty down, but I didn't want to show it because I wanted to look my best with a positive attitude because I was trying to make everyone happy around me. I met this wonderful lady, that would be me, thank you, that I've never met before. She offered to do an interview with me on the Humanitarian Radio Station, and her name is Janie Beauclair. I did get to be interviewed with her and Tony St. Tone, and the two gave me a jump start with a spark that lit me back to life and put the flame in me. I solely needed that. It put me on focus to move forward on my mission of my life. The next day, I was going home and had to go over the Skyway Bridge in St. Pete, Florida. I had to pay a toll, but the car before me paid it for me in full. I'd like to thank that stranger from the deepest of my heart. I thank you and wish you a very healthy life. Thanks for the interview and a chance to speak. I hope that I had some food for thought and hope it inspires others. I'm amazed what a spark can do when you're feeling down. I give to those that need it. Helping others clears your mind as well as fills your heart with love. Thank you very much for giving me that torch back. Melvin Hester.
Thank you, Melvin. We wanted to share that with everyone out there because it's just so great to see how that transcends, you know, a simple thought that you felt and how someone else actually exchanged it back to you. The universe gave it right back to you, and someone paid for your car to go over the bridge and fill.
That's so awesome.
We were actually talking about that on one of our episodes a couple weeks back. So to hear someone just, again, doing that, paying it forward, everyone listening today, go out and buy someone's groceries or at least pay their toll.
I love that idea.
Yeah. I'll be at the Ralph's supermarket around 12 o'clock. No, I'm only kidding. You can meet me there. and pay for our groceries in full. So but no, again, Melvin.
I wanted to say, too, it's the fact of you never know whose life you touch and in what manner you touch it. And giving this guy his spark back just by having a simple conversation with him about life in general and the way people handle other people and what we're trying to educate people with on Humanitarian Radio, just having that reignite this guy to do more awesome things. And again, if you didn't hear last week, hop on humanitarianradio.com and listen to Melvin Hester.
Yeah, and I want to also say the fact that this just continually pays it forward for us, because hearing that type of letter coming back to us makes us know that we're on the right path helping others out. So
absolutely.
Thank you very much for sparking us even more to move forward in the direction that we are.
And listeners out there, please feel free to contact us on our Facebook as well. So I think next let's get into our interview with Vena, because she's pretty amazing.
Yeah, actually we have two people today that we're going to be interviewing. The first one is Vena Tiro, and she is a filmmaker. She does documentaries called Believing in Miracles in Spite of Autism. And then after that, later on, we have Gail Wills, and she has an organization that she just started called Book in a Backpack. But what we're going to do is take a short commercial break, and we'll be right back with Vena.
Give me that best case scenario. I want to hear it full blast stereo.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs. Motivational musician Saint Tone.
I'm a magnet, off the money now. I'm a magnet, off the money now.
Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com. And pick up his newest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com. And we are back with Vena Tiro. She has a movie, it's actually a documentary on autism. It's called My Tiro Boys, Believing in Miracles in Spite of Autism. And she also has a crowdfunding campaign going on. But she's speaking to us live from New York City. Hey, Vena, how are you?
I'm doing great, Tony. I want to thank you, and God bless you for having me on the show and giving me the opportunity to expand autism awareness today. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. I think what you're doing is great, and having read about what you've done, putting this documentary together, I think it's really important that people know about it. So tell us a little bit about it and tell us how you got involved and everything. People want to know. That's why you're here.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you a bit about the film. Believing in Miracles in Spite of Autism generated because I have two boys in the spectrum, and my youngest is nonverbal. And I am believing in a miracle that he will speak. And it's been just a wonderful journey meeting other children in the spectrum who've become adults who have learned to communicate via the written word with augmentative communication, new technology through the iPad, and with typing and learning how to communicate with whiteboards. And so there are so many miraculous things helping this population that most people thought were unintelligent just come into their own and prove people wrong. So that's part of the miracle I'm believing in. The second part is, with now 1 in 50 children diagnosed with some form of autism in America per year,
wow,
that's a lot of people. So I'm believing that when they turn 30, 50, and 70 years of age, we as a global society will have learned about autism and about these individuals, and will have learned how to help them acclimate themselves into society and earn a living using their talents, and not cripple our government by needing to support them financially for housing, clothing, and, you know, just sustaining their lifestyle. So I'm believing in these miracles.
That is great. And, you know, just the fact that you are out there self-empowering your boys and inspiring others to self-empower them, instead of giving them pity and saying, well, he doesn't speak and that's just the way it is,
You're actually going there and saying, no, he has something to say. We just have to find a new way to communicate. And I think that's excellent. So within this movie, from what I understand, you've just documented different things that happen on a daily basis. Is that correct?
That's absolutely true. And what's happened with other families that I know, because I didn't start out this way, Tony. I faced a little bit of denial early on during the diagnostic period. And a lot of what I experienced during that time, I documented over a three-year period and created my first autism awareness documentary, which is My Two-Year-Old Boys, A Lifestyle Dealing with Autism. And that's why I'm in New York now. It's screening at Raw Space on Wednesday, December 4th, and I'm so excited that it's screened internationally. It's just been translated into Tagalog to screen in the Philippines, and that first documentary was nominated for an Africa Movie Academy Award for Best Diaspora Documentary. So,
wow.
That first film just touches families, and I'm at screenings all over, and parents come up to me, and we end up in tears because we swap stories, and they let me know that that's their life that they just saw on screen. And so I even had a little girl, Tony, come up to me and thank me that she was able to see herself there too, because she related to my oldest son. He was talking about being a big brother to a nonverbal little brother, and she's a big sister to a nonverbal little brother. And that really touched me and let me know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm telling true stories. I videotaped the good, bad, the ugly, and everything in the middle. And, you know, it's really raw, but it's also moving. But the funny thing is, it's not all serious and painful. People laugh just as much as they cry when they see this documentary.
That's great, because what you're doing is you're taking a real slice of life, and you're not just trying to sugarcoat it or make it more Hollywood or give it a certain angle. You're just presenting it the way it actually is, correct? I mean, that's what you're doing. You're saying, hey, look, there's some good days and there's some bad days, and it is what it is,
yes,
but we're accepting it.
Yes, and in our world, you know, we have good days. We have lots of fun. You know, it's not all gloom and doom, but on those days, it's extreme and it's scary, and you don't know where you're going to end up. I mean, it's really frightening when you're in the middle of a major tantrum, or if you're in the middle of a major misunderstanding that, you know, my oldest son has me running around circles trying to help him understand and pull him out of his anxiety and pull him out of his fears, because autism affects him very differently. And it's really something. My third film, which I'll be doing hopefully in 2 years, will focus on children like him. And it's going to be titled My Two-Year-Old Boys, If You Didn't Know, Then You Wouldn't Know, because he's one of those kids that most people wouldn't know he's autistic unless they had a child his age, and then they'd see the difference.
Yeah, let's step back a second. Autism is something that's I want everyone to understand exactly how it affects different children, different people. So there's different variations of autism. Is that correct? I mean, you were saying that your younger son, his autism, he doesn't speak. And then your older son, you said you wouldn't even know that he hasn't unless you saw him in certain situations. So what exactly does it do, or how does it affect a person?
Well, it's a neurological and some believe a chemical disorder, and each case is individually different. So we refer to autism more as a spectrum. We look at it as an umbrella that covers from extremely severe cases to extremely mild cases. And the severe cases are displayed in with examples of constant spinning, head banging, more neurological damage or, you know, disability there. And even in the severe cases, the individuals may have a bit of verbal ability, and sometimes they don't. And the other end are people who are diagnosed with what's called Asperger's. And these people tend to be, technically, the majority of them, quite extremely intelligent. These are people with major brains, and the biggest disability they face is socializing. So it's really interesting because my youngest son is nonverbal, and most people would think he's low-functioning, but he's extremely high-functioning. He simply lacks the verbal part.
Right, so you're saying he's very intelligent. He understands everything. He just doesn't speak. So,
absolutely. And you know what? When you don't know, he just plays us. You know, before we got it, he played us. And now we don't let him. You know, these kids, they go, they don't know what I mean. They don't know I know. They don't know I understand everything that's going on around me. And so I can get them to do anything I want. And that's what they do.
Gotcha.
And recently, we've had some awesome individuals through many different people who are working with nonverbal kids. One of them is Soma, and she has created the rapid prompting method, and she learned it with her son, Tito, and he has written books to tell, you know, what he's experienced. And then there's Ito Kedar, who has a new book, you know, Autism Land. And he's nonverbal, and he talks about, you know, how he understood everything. And then there's Carly. Carly, you can go on YouTube and type in Carly and Autism and see videos of this wonderful rock star in the world of autism. This girl told her parents, once she learned how to type, that she knew everything and blew them away. They have been saying things around her that they had no idea she understood. And now she's, you know, got, you know, all these Facebook followers, and she's just rocking the world, just, you know, letting people know, hey, I can't talk, I'm autistic, but I'm awesome. It's just really great.
That is incredible. So these are kids that are actually still nonverbal that have become adults. And now they're telling the story saying, hey, don't let these little ones fool you. They probably know exactly what you're saying more than you realize. It's just that they're not speaking.
Yeah, they're still kids, though. They're in high school.
Wow, that is. So how old is your youngest son right now?
He's 14. He'll be 15 in January.
Okay, so when he wants to communicate with you, does he just type it onto an iPad or write it on a board, or how does he go about doing that?
That's what I'm hoping it will evolve to. We've just begun. We've had maybe 6 to 8 sessions.
Okay.
With this new alternative communication. I raised him to be independent, and we had ABA, Applied Behavioral Analysis Therapist, in our home since he was 7 years old, for about 3 years, and they helped us create a PEC system. That's a picture exchange card. It's a little picture that he could pull off, you know, off of a Velcro book or a Velcro strip and request things that way. So we had PECs all over the house. That was one way he could make his needs known. And then, you know, he learned to actually do things himself. So he doesn't really have to ask for much, but he still can grab my arm. Like if we're somewhere and he wants to leave, he doesn't say, Mom, I'm ready to go. He grabs my purse and puts it on my arm.
That's going to be like, great, here you go, Ma. I just want to make sure you have that before we are ready to leave, right? We're leaving?
Yeah.
That is great. So you've already had one film out. You have a second film out, and you are looking for crowdfunding. So why don't you talk a little bit about that? What's going on with your crowdfunding? What is the money raised for? How can people get involved, et cetera?
Yes, thank you so much, because it's very important that the second film make it into theaters. I financed the first film on my own money and with favors from industry professionals and a couple of nonprofits. Tia Goulden with the Samaritan's House made a donation, and I have friends. Lisa Pacero made a wonderful donation and helped me make that film for, you know, under $1,000, and that's unbelievable. But I just bought used equipment, and I knew how to edit, write, shoot, and produce a film, so I did it, and with the grace of God, really. Now, this second film is going to be even more powerful because I have senators Senator Karen Price, who is working with the Obama administration, and Senator Daryl Steinberg, who has been very instrumental in passing the bill for health care initiatives for the autism population. And I have Holly Mitchell, Assemblywoman Holly Mitchell, who is on the health care committee with President Obama. And these are people who are already making a difference for the future of autism. And I've been able to interview several of them. I got Senator Steinberg at a wonderful press conference in Sacramento. I've actually elevated my advocacy status to lobbying. I was fortunate enough to attend a session to lobby different senators in Sacramento on behalf of our children. And linking up with Areva Martin, co-founder of the Special Needs Network, who's an Uber advocate, and she's just leading the way and leading the charge. So I have those people in this new documentary, and I'm going to show the whole process of augmentative communication from the point where I learned of it, seeing Soma in a documentary film, A Mother's Journey, and finding people through conferences to treat my son, and meeting Darlene Henson, who's in Whittier, and she's one of the leaders in Southern California, and getting with her once a month since she offered one free class, because being a single mom and I work part-time, you know, sessions like that are quite costly.
Yeah.
And over a period of time, I was able to go through the regional center and get funding for once a week for Bakari, and now we're with Dynamic Therapy Solutions. And we have a wonderful therapist, Vanessa, who is really helping Bakari once a week communicate in group sentences, and just it's just wonderful. So I'm going to show that and bring in the same professionals I had in the first film who are so knowledgeable, Dr. Bob Sears, the author of the autism book. He has quite a bit to say regarding where we're going. He helps us understand diagnostics and treatment. And then we have Nancy Alsbaugh Jackson, who is the executive director of ACT Today, that's Autism Care and Treatment Today, and she's a powerful advocate. So, and then we bring back all of the people who have been in the first documentary regarding education. The film covers a vast number of issues that we in the autism community face. It helps parents navigate how to get treatment and how to see what educational programs work, you know, what is really needed and what really hasn't worked for other families. So it's going to be powerful, and I want it on PBS. I want it in theaters, and to do that, it's going to take more money than I can generate myself, and so I'm hoping and I'm believing that I'm going to reach 1 million people who will give generously. And generously sometimes for some people is actually close to 25 to 50 cents. And that is a blessing when someone really just wants to help out. People can give online from as much as $5 to $10,000. And I'm meeting with people to see if I can get corporate sponsors to match at the $5,000 level, at the $10,000 level, and at, you know, the $20,000 level, so that we can raise at least $60,000 by January 1st.
That is excellent. So with that money, your goal is to get this second movie, this new movie, into theaters or on PBS. We're just that way more people will be educated about autism, and those that are dealing with it, they have something to watch and something to learn from. I mean, there's probably a lot of really great information in there, and just the fact that you're exposing it lets people feel more comfortable, like they're not alone. And I think that's probably one of the most important things out there, is that they can feel connected, saying, hey, I'm not the only one dealing with this, and there is another way. And learning about books of children that don't speak, that say, hey, they still understand exactly what's going on, they just don't speak. So tell everyone, how do they get involved as far as donating to your campaign? Where is it on the internet? How do they get involved?
Thank you, Tony. But first, I want to thank you for getting it. You get it, my brother. And God bless you. I thank you. You know, I've touched one soul today, and that's you, and that starts the charge.
Thank you. You did a great job. So you know what you're doing, and you're very passionate about it. And I think that's what's really strong here is that you're doing it for all the right reasons of getting more information out there to help others that are in the same situation.
Thank you so much. So everyone listening, go to Indiegogo.com, and that's spelled IndieGogo.com, and type in My Piero Boys documentary. Now, Piero is spelled T as in Tom, H-I-E-R-O. And if you don't remember that, go to Indiegogo.com and just type in autism. And you'll see a picture of me and my two boys. I am the black woman with the blonde afro.
That's a nice way of saying it. Yeah, there you go.
Yes, look for our picture. And please, any amount from your heart is greatly appreciated. Thank you so much. And for more information on the first film, you can go to mypieroboys.com.
Excellent. And we will have both of those websites on the link. So when you go to, when you're listening to this show right now, if you look at the link, it'll be right there. You'll have the website and the Indigo crowdfunder. And that is going until January 1st. Is that correct?
Yes. People
okay.
can give to their heart's desire up until January 1st. And I'm so grateful.
Well, this is the year and the time of giving. This is the time of year for giving. So if you're feeling it, go out there and just donate. Like she said, if you donate 50 cents, $5, or $50, whatever it is, every little bit helps to get the word out about autism and help others that are in need and that are confused about this situation that they might be in at this time. Hey, I want to thank Vaina very much for being part of our show, and we wish you the best of luck, and hopefully you'll come back in January and let us know how you did with your crowdfunding.
Yes, Tony, I forgot one important person in the new documentary. Autism Speaks Executive Director Matthew Asner, the Executive Director of Southern California, has an awesome interview that will just really blow you away. He really has his finger on the pulse of what we're going to need in the future.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Well, thank you very much again, and we will look forward to more information from you and more movies to come. Then again, that is Vaina from My Tiro Boys. You can check her out on Indigo. Oh, it's Indiegogo.com, and we'll have all the information on the link. We'll be right back after a couple more advertisements.
This segment of the show, sponsored by Artistic Journey, where we help groups and organizations reach their fundraising goals by providing unique marketing products to showcase their events. Be sure to visit ArtisticJourney.com. where you can shop for over 750,000 items to put your logo on, all at wholesale pricing. Whether you're looking for some fresh ideas or just need a better price on the goods you currently purchase, let Artistic Journey's years of experience bring your events to a whole new level. Visit ArtisticJourney.com today.
So listen up. If you're on the market for a graphic designer, you know, someone who can create logos, websites, etc., along with radio ads and video, well, there's no need to look any further than ST Productions. It's your one-stop shop for all your graphic, audio, and video needs. ST Productions will get it done while saving you money and having fun. So keep them in mind, ST Productions, an audio, video, graphic design service.
Humanitarian Radio.
And we are back with Gail Wills from BookInABackpack.org. She is collecting books and brand new backpacks or used backpacks, from what I understand, to give to kids that are in need. Gail, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks, Tony.
Well, we are very glad to have you here. We want to learn a little bit more about what you're doing to help kids out. From what I understand, you've been involved in the school system for about 30 years, and you've seen the effects of kids getting a brand new backpack or getting a brand new book every year. So tell us what your whole goal is.
Okay, yes, that's right. I have been in the school system working as a teacher's aide, supervisor, after-school daycare departments, and all of that, being involved with the kids. And as you said, I've seen it with my own eyes. The kids come in with a new outfit, a new backpack, and then when the school provides the Scholastic Book Club, I'm sure that we're all aware of, and those kids are also the ones that are able to buy the books, and they're excited about it. They're excited to have a brand new book in their hands.
Right.
While these other ones, that you know, the ones that can't afford it, they just kind of slip through the cracks, and they're just pushed aside, and, you know, those are the ones that are having the problems. So I want to reach out to those kids that are in need and award them a new backpack with a new book inside. And I want this, Tony, to go global. And I just believe and I feel in my heart, any child that's going to be able to have a book in their hands, hold it, turn the pages, and read it, they're going to get something out of it. And it's going to reach kids from the younger levels, from kindergarten to sixth grade, middle school, and also high school. So I just know, you know, anybody that's going to read a book, especially a little child, they're going to get something out of it, you know. But if we don't give them that opportunity to even try or to start or to begin, you know, they're, like I said, they're just going to keep falling through the cracks.
Well, you know, and from what I understand, it's all psychological, because if you feel good or feel like you look good, then you feel better and you have more self-confidence. And I think that's what it comes down to, especially with kids. If they feel like they fit in with a brand new backpack or with the latest clothes, then they feel like they can fit in. They feel like they can achieve, and self-confidence. So, and it does start
from their self-esteem.
Yes.
Yes, you're correct.
Even from the youngest age up.
That's why I wanted to, I came up with this idea, thought, how can I, you know, reach these kids? How can I build their self-esteem? And like you said, give them a self-confidence. And this was my way of coming back and giving back. And I've also, I watched a program, a documentary, I think it was last year, where the children of Kenya were given a uniform. And becoming like, if this was Christmas to them, because they knew if they received a uniform, that gave them the opportunity to attend school.
Right.
So I eventually will add a uniform to the backpack, but right now it's just a book. But kids are excited to learn if we give them the opportunity. But if they don't have that opportunity, they're going to go the wrong direction, and that's what we need to stop, and this is where we need to help them.
Right, and it's for kids, and, you know, and adults get the same reaction. I mean, it's fitting in. I mean, if you've ever gone to a high-end event where everyone's got a suit on and you show up in jeans, all of a sudden you feel like you're an outcast, like, oh, my God, I didn't realize this was a black tie event. So you're
right.
Going to shy away, and you're not going to talk to everyone. You're going to sort of hide in the corner going, I didn't realize that everyone was wearing a suit. And kids are going to be the same way. If everyone's got a backpack and you don't have one, you feel like you're not part of the social scene. I agree with it 1,000%. So you came up with this idea, and now is there any particular book that's going to go in each backpack? Because obviously there's different age groups. You're going to start from kindergarten and go all the way up to high school.
Right, all the way up to high school, and then again, college age. But I want to start with the younger generation. I actually have a brother-in-law, Paul Wills, who is an author of children's books. And I'm going to start with his book, and it's on the younger level. I am in contact, I haven't got a response yet, with Chris Colfer from The Glee Show, who also writes children's books.
Oh, good.
And I wanted to see if he would donate some of his books. But in the meantime, I do have a Facebook page. Anybody that wants to help, give me some support, you can go to Facebook and just search Book in a Backpack, and I will come up. And also a campaign I'm running to help me run funds to get myself situated where I can receive funds and get that nonprofit status. If you can go to Indiegogo.com, and it's Indiegogo.com, and search Book in a Backpack, and I will pop up. My face will pop up, and you can read my story there and see what I'm doing thus far. And like I said, I just want to make this global. I also saw a program, I think it was last night or night before, on MSNBC with Lawrence O'Donnell, where he's connecting and teaming up with UNICEF to give desks, school desks in the country of Malawi in Africa. And there's a video on where you can watch these kids. They're so excited, you know, to be able to sit at a desk, but they still need the books.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where I come in. Anybody out there that can get me in touch with Lawrence O'Donnell, that I can team up with him, I am going to try to reach out to him and contact him. I think that would just be a beautiful team, a beautiful concept, you know, the books and the backpacks and the desks.
Oh, without a doubt. And, you know, I had an opportunity a number of years ago to go to Ecuador. And I went to Ecuador, and there was a little farm village, and there was a woman there who had built a school. And all the kids that were working on farms, the parents were in a poverty-type situation. They said, look, you know, we want the kids to work on the farm. We don't want them to go to school because we need the help. And this woman took it upon herself, saying, you know, these kids really deserve an education so they can better themselves and you know, get to the next level. And we showed up with just paper and pencils. And they were thrilled because in their situation, every child only got one piece of paper a day. Now, you can imagine the kids, you know, the kids that want to draw or color or do whatever they want to do with paper, you know, they'll go through a whole packet in a day if you allow them. So these kids seeing paper, they were getting more than one sheet a day. It was like you said earlier, it was Christmas for them. And it's such a simple, simple thing that we take for granted here in the United States, or even just hearing people that are in a better position going, oh, just a pad of paper.
Right.
You can get it for 99 cents.
Right.
You can get a whole booklet. But there, it's very scarce. So.
But for them, it's like gold. It's like gold. And you know the other thing, Tony, that I realized that doesn't come up a lot, but if you, like I said, if you give that child an opportunity to learn how to read, you're going to see other things come out of that child. Some kids at a young age, my grandson, as a matter of fact, at the age of 3, was fascinated by the galaxy. So my son kept buying him books on all these different planets. He knows more about the planets than I do at age 5 now.
Yeah.
And those are the things that, you know, if we don't start them out right, we're not going to get those extra talents or secrets or, you know, hidden desires that kids have, the art in them, you know, the talent to be able to sing or a voice. We're not going to get it because they have such low self-esteem. So I just want to catch them, like I said, at a young age, and I really want it to go global. And I just thought, you know, with this project, who's going to say no? Who's going to say no? No, it's not important to help a child. It's not important to help this one receive a book, teach them how to read. It's important. It's vital that we do this, and I just need help, and that's why I'm out here. I'm trying to voice my voice as loud as I can to get this project out there.
Well, we're here to support you 100%. I think it's a great cause, and I know Janie feels it's a great cause. Now, you said you're going to start, I'm assuming you're going to start in the United States, and are you going to start locally?
Yes.
And
well,
what's your thoughts? I know you want to go global eventually, but where do you want to start right now?
Well, actually, I've already started in my own neighborhood, where I've reached out to schools in my own neighborhood. Even though, you know, it might be a nice neighborhood, there's still kids that are falling behind that we can help. But I am working with another foundation, Helping Hands, and they actually want to take it to Kenya and Pakistan. So wow. I'm so open to that. But, you know, that would be on them to follow that up. They were really gung-ho, but now they're really focusing on the Philippines right now and helping them. So this program is kind of set back. But, yes, I'm here in the United States. I live in California, so this is where I'm going to start until I can get the help and the funds to bring me global.
Right, right. And you know, I'm really glad to hear you say that, because there are so many kids in need right here in the United States. And I know that a lot of us look overseas, and not to deny anyone overseas, but if you were to just look around your neighborhood, there's people in need right next door to you.
Oh, yeah.
And I think a lot of times we tend to just sort of look past it and go, well, we live in the United States. It's the greatest country in the world. So how could there be people living in poverty, or how could there be a kid without a book or a backpack? It's like, if you look a little harder, you'll find it quite easily. There's a lot of kids in need right here in your own neighborhood, let alone the United States. And it's not to say that we shouldn't help others around the world, because I'm for helping everyone and anyone. I just think that we can create an effort locally. It doesn't have to be on a global scale when you first start out. And I applaud you for that, to say, hey, let's start locally and let it expand out, because as more people become aware of it, it'll happen.
I think so. I think so, Tony. And it's where my heart is. You know, I lived here all my life, and I worked in this school system, like I said, for 30 years. So it's here where I'm going to start. You know, there's kids everywhere that are in need, and this is where I'm going to start. I actually wrote a letter to President Obama, and he is backing me and supporting me. Because he knows, you know, we know our school system, we have to help our kids in higher education and push them and give them that edge, you know, and this is my way of giving them the edge. And yeah, this is where I'm going to start.
Well, if you can start them off young and get them excited about school and get them excited about education, they're limitless as far as where they can go from here. I mean, it's obvious that you have no idea what could come from it, but you have to at least give them a shot at it and get them excited enough at this age, because it's very easy to fall behind in the school system and get pushed aside and go, how did this kid graduate and he didn't even know how to read? I mean, you know, it's like, oh, we just pushed him through the system.
Exactly. And that should not happen. That should not happen. But I know, like I said, from seeing these kids, the excitement they get from receiving a new book is amazing. You know, a child becomes more excitable to receiving a book than they do a toy. You know, and that's where sometimes parents don't see. I'm a parent myself, and I can speak for myself. I wished, you know, that if I did it all over again, yeah, it would have been more books. It would have been other languages, you know. But, you know, we live and learn. And now that I've lived and I've learned, and I'm coming back to try to help where it's needed, you know. And, again, I can't stress enough the campaign website for people to go to, Indiegogo.com. And just search Book in a Backpack and contribute. And knowing that when you contribute, it's not to me at all. It's to some child that has a smile on his face where they're holding that brand new book in their hand.
Right.
You know, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, it's very exciting, and I look forward to you. Now, let me just ask you this. Do you have any goals in mind? Have you said, hey, I want to get 1,000 books by, or 1,000 books and backpacks by this date and this date and this date? Do you have goals like that?
I do have a goal in mind, and I think big, Tony. So
well, that's great.
My goal is 5,000 books.
5,000, okay.
5,000 books. How far can I go with 5,000 books? That would be great. But I know that was my goal. So,
well, you know what?
If I can do that, I would be thrilled.
Well, you know, let's put it this way. I'm a true believer in goal setting because I think when you have a goal in mind, now you know what you're striving for. Now you have, it's like, hey, we've got 100. Now we need 4,900 more. And after you get that, then it's like, that's how you build upon it. Because unless you have that number, it's you know, it's random. You go, I don't know, I got 3. It's like, oh, did you reach your goal? Well, I thought I'd get a little more than 3. It's like, okay, well, then let's shoot big. Let's go for 5,000. And as you shoot big, you will stretch yourself to get to that point.
Right, and I know, like I said, who's going to say no when they can, you know, satisfy a child with a brand new book? And I know I said it, but I'm going to say it again. Every child needs to own their own book, hold it in their hand, turn the pages, and read it. And I know there's people out there that can donate, either contribute to this Indiegogo website or books. Any way you could do it, that would be great. You know, contact me. Leave me a message and contribute. It's gonna go a long ways for a long time. But if you allow me to just tell this quick story.
Sure, go ahead.
I was working with 7th grade students in junior high school, and this one kid would come in. His older brother had already graduated. The older brother was a problem child, gave the teachers just a problem every day. So when this kid came in, they thought, oh, it's so-and-so's brother, you know, and
yes.
I saw that, you know. Mm-hmm. So I told him, I took him aside and I said, look, don't let anybody put a label on your forehead, you know, and he didn't know what that meant at the time in 7th grade. So I explained it to him. They look at you thinking you're brother, and you're not that person. You're somebody else. So don't let them do that to you. Don't let anybody do that to you. So he just smiled and he walked away. I saw this kid after about 5 years after that. He had graduated from high school already. He saw me. I didn't recognize him. He was adult now. But he came up to me and he goes, you don't remember me, huh? And I said, I don't, but give me a little bit about you. Maybe I will. So he told me, I'm the kid you said don't put a label, don't let anybody put a label on my forehead. And I said, oh, yeah. So he said, because of that, I went home and I never forgot it. And I graduated with honors from high school. Now I'm in college. And
wow.
I thought, you see, if I can do one thing for one child, that's amazing to me, you know, and he never forgot that. He didn't want that label. He wanted a different label, and I'm sure he's successful now, you know. But that's what we have to do that. We have to get out there and, like I said, just give them an edge. And I feel a book for the younger generation is that edge.
Yeah, and just to go back to your story, you know, I experienced that myself. I had an older brother and sister, and I would have teachers tell me, well, you're not your brother. I'm like, no, I'm not. Oh, and your sister took Italian. She did really well. Why aren't you doing well? I'm like, because I'm not my sister. I'm me. And
right.
Teachers have a tendency to group people together. So I'm so glad you actually got a chance to say that to him so he understood before anybody groups me into what my brother has already done prior to me even being here, that I'm not put in that category. And obviously he took what you said and ran with it. And
he did.
That's great. That is great. And I think, like you said earlier, bringing that book or bringing a backpack to someone can do the same exact thing. It's something that small that can change someone's life. And that one time that you said it to him, 5 years later he came back around to say to you, hey, by the way, that one moment that you took to say that to me altered what I thought and what happened to me. So that's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Great story.
So in a book, in a backpack, you know, it's just a small gesture that can become something really big. So I need help out there. Anybody that can help me, please, again, go to indiegogo.com, I-N-D-I-E-G-O-G-O.com, and search book in a backpack, and I will pop up. My name is Gail Wills, and do whatever you can. If it's, you know, monetary, great. If it's books, great. Anything you can do that to help a child, will, you know, somebody is going to become successful, and we're going to reap the rewards by just seeing it happen.
And we'll have that website on the on our website when you want to come back. You're listening to the show. You can probably see it right now if you are listening to the show. You'll see the website there. Thank you again, Gail, for having us. Any last words? I know I just want to reiterate, it's book and a backpack, and you're spelling out the word A-N-D, correct?
Book in a backpack, like inside. The book's inside the backpack.
See that? I didn't.
Book.
In. I-N. See, I kept thinking it was and. Okay, it's in. Okay.
Right. Book in a backpack.
Okay, fantastic. Well, hopefully you can come back and talk to us within the next month or so and tell us how you're doing. Would you do that for us?
I will. Thank you so much, Tony. This is a great opportunity to get my voice heard and hopefully, you know, get some responses coming back to me.
Well, we hope that all our listeners are paying attention and will support you in this cause, because I think it's a great cause. And just by that little story you told of someone taking a moment to explain to someone, change that person's life, and that was just a few words. So a book and a backpack can do that much more.
Right. You're right.
All right, Gail. Thank you again.
You're exactly right. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Tony, giving me this opportunity again. And, what anybody can do, just like I said, if you want to contribute, great. If you want to give a book, even better. So thank you so much, Tony, to give me this opportunity to reach out to all your listeners.
Not a problem. We'll be right back after a few messages.
At Fulcrum.
Don't do without
the new album. Describing an arc over the curve. Post-progressive rock. At Fulcrum.
Gilman Amps, we create the tone in your head. Custom-built guitar and bass tube amplifiers.
Hey everybody, this is David Gilman from Gilman Amps. If you need any repairs, modifications, or restorations of your vintage or modern tube equipment, as well as custom builds, I'd love to hear from you.
For more information, check out their website, GilmanAmps.com, and Facebook / Gilman Amps. We create the tone in your head.
So guess what? We have a surprise today. We have Mr. David Gilman of Gilman Amps, that commercial that you just heard. He's in the studio, and since Tony and I and David are all musicians, I got a question for you, Dave. What is the best thing you can do for a guitar-playing musician in your life this time of year for a Christmas gift? Do you do gift certificates, or do you still have time to have service between now and Christmas to help somebody out?
Hey, that's a great question, Janie. Yeah, right now is a great time to actually do some fall cleaning and some service maintenance on your amp. I think it's really good at, you know, the beginning of the season to really just make sure that everything is working in there, all the components. And a tune-up, I would say, would be a great gift to any musician. I like to do it for myself and usually my friends. And, yeah.
You're just sort of checking to see if there's any cracks or pops that are going on. Especially as a live musician, you get to a gig, and a lot of times you don't realize that there's this little annoying sound or hum that you just keep putting aside and putting aside, and now's the time to just say, you know what, I'm just going to finally get this thing in for service. Right?
Well, yeah, you know, it's like a race car. You know, you have to do maintenance on it. You got to change the oil. You got to rotate, you know, change the tires, and tube amplifiers are just like that, you know, high-performance equipment that does need periodic maintenance and parts change. So this is, I think this is a great time to do that.
And do you sometimes usually get in there, I mean, things that you would find is, it could be just screws that are loose and things that rattle around. If you're a traveling musician, I mean, Dave and I know we used to play 275 shows a year back in Florida, yeah. And just moving your amp every single night in and out of a car and into a club, things start to loosen up and things start to rattle, and you don't realize that everything gets loose. Every nut and bolt starts to get loose, so things could be hanging on by a thread, and until you get in there, you don't really know.
And it might not even be a really expensive fix. It might just be a one-hour something that makes a dramatic change in your equipment and in your sound.
Yes, right now we actually have a $40 Christmas special, which is a 12-point cleaning and service for tube amplifiers, including a recheck and setting of your bias and cleaning pots and et cetera, and going through
all the technical things that go on with tube amps.
Yeah, exactly. All the things that can go wrong or drift out of spec. And if there's any other major repairs that are needed, that will go towards the repair cost as well.
All right, so quickly, how do people get a hold of you?
Well, they can find me on Facebook at Gilman Amps, and also my website, GilmanAmps.com.
And what is your phone number if they want to call you?
And my number is 619-933-6100.
Excellent. Well, thanks for stopping by, Dave, and we'll definitely keep that in mind. I'm thinking I'm going to get my amp cleaned.
I'm thinking you should get your amp cleaned.
I think Jane's going to actually buy an amp and then get it cleaned.
Yay!
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Thanks.
Merry Christmas to you guys.
So I wanted to also mention, we were speaking yesterday to Nancy Jones. Her husband was the late George Jones. And she was talking about how she had gone through a shopping zone and saw Santa Claus. And she befriended him, just started chatting with him a little bit. And come to find out, Santa needed some cheering up. He had some issues going on in his life, and she was able to just speak to him for a few minutes and put him on a different playing field. So, you know, just because he's in a Santa costume doesn't mean that he didn't need love,
jolly and happy all the time, yeah.
Yeah, so I just really, you know, thinking about Melvin Hester and thinking about Nancy Jones telling us that story, I feel like you really need to pay attention to the people around you and give the slightest of hi, even, to a perfect stranger, or a smile, and you really have no idea what that does for people. And I encourage you to do fabulous humanitarian things throughout the season. Pay it forward where you can. Surprise someone who's unexpected. Donate toys for tots. Do something to help your fellow human being.
You know, I have a suggestion, too. If you are bringing your child to go see Santa in a mall, maybe bring them a gift.
Wow, wouldn't that be something?
Maybe bring him
switcheroo.
A little, yeah, like bring him a granola bar or something. God knows he's probably been sitting there for 8 hours with some kid that's on his lap.
And pee.
Maybe he's hungry, even a bottle of water, and he'd be like, oh, my God, thank you so much.
Yeah, that's really a good thought.
You know, bringing Santa a gift, and how cool would it be, I'm even going to go a step further, what if you had your child give him the gift? Like, here, Santa, this is for you.
Wow.
Here's a granola bar and some water before he sits on his lap.
I like it.
I think that would be awesome.
Give him a certificate
I'm gonna go
for
do it
a
myself.
Happy meal. Get happy, Santa. No, I think that's a great idea. It's a great thought. And it's just, you
and
know.
Teaching your child something like, here, you're going to give Santa a granola bar and a bottle of water.
Well, and another great thing to teach your child is throw some change in those Salvation Army buckets for their bell ringers at the doors. Saw quite a few of them over the last few weeks, and you know, I applaud people who do that. Tony and I did it. It was a blast. But another great thing to teach your child, that giving is good.
So listen, we will see you next week, same bat channel, same bat time.
Backwards, but that's okay.
No, well, that's from
bat time, bat channel, but
yeah,
we'll take it.
That's the Batman thing.
Enjoy Humanitarian Radio. Go online and listen to past episodes, humanitarianradio.com. Make friends with us on Facebook, Humanitarian Radio Facebook, and we'd love to hear from you. If you know somebody should be on our show, throw them our way.
Have a great week, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.